إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead Him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for Him. I bear witness that no deity has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is with the hellfire. Continuing where we left off a couple of weeks ago, we come to the chapter Imamatun Nisa, or the women being the imam, or the women leading the salah. And we're still with Jami'u Ahkamun Nisa from Mustafa Al-Adawi, حفظه الله. And we come to the narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها. روى عبد الرزاق في المصنف عن الثوري عن ميسر ابن حبيب النهدي عن ريطة الحنفية أن عائشة أمتهن وقامت بينهن في صلاة مكتوبة. And this is صحيح. عبد الرزاق Rahimahullah, in his Musannaf, his collection of hadith and narrations on the companions and those who come after them, he comes down to this narration on Rita al-Hanafiyya, where she said that Aisha radiallahu anha led them in salah, them meaning the women, in salah, and she stood in between the women, meaning in between the row, for a compulsory salah. For one of the five compulsory salat. So here we see, by being the imam, as we're going to explain inshallah, as we cover these narrations, meaning a lady being the one who leads the salat amongst the other women, standing in the same row. As we see from the narration of Salama radiallahu anha, and this is collected by Imam al-Shafi'i in his Musnad, and Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, the one who they attribute the madhab to, he has books, and among the books he has is called the Musnad of Imam Shafi'i, and it's a collection of some hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some narrations of the companions and the tabi'un and the people up to Imam Shafi'i's time, which is 204 when he died, rahimahullah. And alhamdulillah, I had a chance to read some of this book, and I have it in my library. It's one volume or one book. And it's into two sections. Here Imam al-Shafi rahimahullah, he says, أَخْبَرَنَا إِبْنُ عُيَيْنَا عَنْ عَمَّارِ الدُّهْنِي عَنْ امْرَأَةٍ مِّنْ قَوْمِهِ يُقَالُ لَهَا حُجَيْرَةٌ عَنْ أُمِّ سَلَمَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّهَا أَمَّتْهُنَّ فَقَامَتْ وَسْطًا or وَسَطًا. Here Imam al-Shafi rahimahullah, he says, it was reported to us by Ibn Uyayna on the authority of Ammar al-Duhni that a lady from among his people, and her name was Hujayra, she reports on Salama, the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anha, that she led the salat and she stood in the middle. That she led the salat and she stood in the middle, and this narration is authentic. We have some other narrations from other than the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abd al-Razak narrates on Ibn Jurayr, قالت أم المرأة النساء من غير أن تخرج أمامهن ولكن تحاذي بهن في المكتوبة والتطوع. قلت وإن كثرنا حتى يكن صفين أو أكثر. قال وأن تقوم وسطهن. And this is authentic. Ibn Jurayj, rahimahullah, he says that a lady will lead the women in the salat and she would not stand in front of them. Rather, she would be equal to them in the compulsory salat or in the salat al-tatawwur or the... supererogatory, they call it. Yeah. The salat, other than the five salat that they make. That whether it was in the five salat or not, that the lady leading the rest of the women in the jama'ah, that she would stand in the row and not in front of them. They said, suppose it's more than one row, being two rows or more. He said that she would stand in the middle of them. In the middle of the row. Also, we have the narration. It's collected by Abd al-Razak in his Musannaf عن معمر. قالت أم المرأة النساء في رمضان وتقوم معهن في الصف. Here معمر رضي الله عنه, he said that a lady will lead the women in salah in Ramadan and she would stand with them in the middle of the row, or she would stand with them in the row. And this has also been reported authentically on Hassan and Sha'bi and Ibn with the collection of Ibn Abi Shayba and his Musannaf. So here we see from these narrations that the Prophet's companions radiallahu anhunna and some of the tabi'un, that they saw that the women, if they were to lead other women in salah, that they would stand in the middle of the row, whether it was for the five compulsory salah or for the other salah. Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, he mentions that Imam al-Awza'i wa Sufyan al-Thawri wa Ahmad ibn Hanbal wa Ishaq ibn Rahuya or Rahuay, depending on how they pronounce it, wa Abu Thawr, they say that it is recommended that a lady leads the women in the salah and that she stands in the middle of them. It's recommended that a lady lead the salat amongst the women and that she stands in the middle of the row. And this is one of the position of the ulama. And some of the ulama, they are against the women making salat in the jama'ah. As Ibn Aun, he says, I wrote to Nafi', who is the mawla of Abdullah ibn Umar, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which makes him among the tabi'een. Ibn Aun said, I wrote to him and I questioned him, does a lady lead the salah, lead the other women in salah? And he says, I don't know any lady that would lead the women in salah. And this has been authentically reported to him. These are the two positions of the ulama. But we see from this narration of Nafi', who is one of the scholars of the tabi'een, and he is a part of the chain that Imam al-Bukhari says is the most authentic chain back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning Imam Malik to Nafi', this Nafi' to Abdullah ibn Umar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's definitely among the great scholars, but we see from his statement, I don't know that a lady would lead the women in the salat. He's speaking about what he knows. And we see from the other authentic narrations which becomes a part of our knowledge, inshallah, that Aisha radiallahu anha and Salama radiallahu anha, both wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they led the women in the salah and they stood in the middle of the rows. So whether it is recommended or just simply permissible, it's definitely not discouraged, as the people who have come before us, our righteous predecessors, have established this for us. Mustafa al-Adawi, rahimahullah, he says, summarizing this chapter up, that it is permissible for a lady to lead the salat of women in the jama'ah because of the general narrations that we have showing the virtues of the jama'ah, and that it's better to make salat in jama'ah, as the reward for the salat in the jama'ah is greater than the salat of the person by themselves, as is in many hadith on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says there is no prohibition that the women could make salat in jama'ah with one lady leading that salat. There's no prohibition for this. And then he also says we have the examples of the companions, and no one opposed them. Salama and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, and that no one opposed them. And likewise, we have the narrations of some of the people who came after them from the people of knowledge, who show that it is permissible for the women to make salat with a lady leading them in salat. As far as the women, and this is just repeating what we had just covered, as far as the women standing in the middle of the row, we saw those narrations, and Mustafa al-Adawi rahimahullah, he adds on top of that, and I don't know anything that would prevent a lady from standing in front of the other women when she led the salat. I don't know anything that would prevent the women, a lady, from standing in front of the other women when she led the salat, just like the imam stands in front of the congregation when he leads the salat. But it seems to hold fast to that which the Salaf had practiced is better and more virtuous than that. Meaning that which Aisha radiallahu anha and Salama and the people who said that the lady should stand in the middle of the row, that would seem to be more virtuous and better, as the first people who practiced Islam, this is the way that they practiced it, though we don't see anything against it. And this is something that we take into consideration when we're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I was just talking to a few brothers about this, that we try to be the people, inshallah, who follow the Qur'an and the Sunnah. That we worship Allah according to what is in the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, with the understanding and practical application of our righteous predecessors to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. But at times where we don't have anything explicit in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, but we have practices from our righteous predecessors, we're not making that compulsory on anyone. We're saying that it is best to do that which they did, as we have many texts from the Qur'an and the Sunnah that encourage us to follow those people who came before us. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah At-Tawbah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. And the first foremost pioneers or predecessors from the Muhajirin and the Ansar, and those who followed them, بِإِحْسَانٍ, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. So here, and there are many texts that show the virtues of following the people that come before us. So at times, if there's no ayah or no hadith that's directly related to an issue, and we have a practice from the people who came before us, we would say that it is better and more virtuous to do that thing, and we're not making it compulsory on the people, nor are we saying that it is haram or forbidden to do the opposite of that, except that we recommend for ourselves and the people that they hold fast to the practices of our righteous predecessors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is the example, and we can take this for ourselves, for the men when we're lining up in the salah. that the next row or the new row, it begins from the middle. We have no hadith reported that the new row begins from the middle, and wherever you start the new row, it's okay. But we have narrations from our righteous predecessors that they used to begin the next row from the middle, and it's best for us to follow them and that which we have no clear text from the Quran and the Sunnah, if they have some guidance in that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Should the women be allowed a recite aloud or not? Mustafa al-Adwi, he brings the statement of Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, who says that the women, they should recite aloud in the salat that they're supposed to recite aloud. And if there are men there, then they shouldn't recite aloud. Except if those men are from their mahrams, then there's no problem with it. And this is good advice from Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, that if the women are by themselves, then they would raise their voice, or she would recite the Quran loudly in Fajr, Maghrib, and Isha. And if there were men around, then she would keep her voice down, unless those men were from her mahram, and then she would raise her voice and there would be no problem with that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next chapter, the best rows of khayru sufuf al-nisa, the best rows for the women. And he brings the hadith of Imam Muslim rahimahullah, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خير صفوف الرجال أولها وشرها آخرها وخير صفوف النساء آخرها وشرها أولها. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the best rows for the men are the first rows, and the worst rows for the men are the last rows, and the best rows for the women are the last rows, and the worst rows for the women are the first rows. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam establishes that if the women, if they want to be in the rows that are best for them, then they should try to hurry to get to the last rows as the men try to get to the first rows. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. However, Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he brings a nice point that we don't take into consideration unless we have the type of insight into the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that the scholars have, and that he says this is when the men and the women are together, and that is when the women's rows are behind the men, that then it's best for the women to get the last rows when they are in Salat where the men are, and that is so that they would be farther away from the men, and that they wouldn't be seen by the men, and that these would be the best rows for the women. And however, if the women were in a part of the masjid that no men saw them, and it wasn't an issue of being too close to the men or not being too close to the men, then what would apply for them is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam collected by Imam al-Bukhari, لا يعلمون ما في الصف المقدم لاستهموا عليه. If they only knew the virtues of being in the first rows, they would have hurried up there. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing, and some of the ulama, as he brings the statement of Imam Nawawi and Imam al-San'ani and Imam al-Shawkani, that they all show an understanding this hadith of the Prophet, these two hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that if the women are there with the men and they're lining up directly behind the men, then the farther away the women are from the men, then the better, and these are the best rows for the women. However, if the women are in a part of the masjid, as we have our masjid here, Rawdatullah, and the women, for the majority of the times, they may be downstairs and they may be separate from the men, then it would be better for them to get the first rows, and that they would be have more reward for being in the first rows, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged the people in general to catch the first rose. And then, according to the circumstances, as the ulama are explaining, when the men and the women are together, then the men will get the earliest rose, and the women will get the rose that are farthest away from the men. This is from the understanding of the ulama of Islam, and it can benefit the women that are here, that if they're downstairs, that they can see that the first part of the masjid would be best for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Al-mar'atu wahdaha takunu safan. A lady by herself would make up a row. And he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahumullah an Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu qala salaytu ana wa yateemun fi baytina khalfa an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ummi um salim khalfana. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he said, myself and an orphan, we made salat behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and my mother Salim, she was behind us. Here Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he's showing that a lady can be behind the row by herself. And we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever makes the salat behind the row be by themselves, then they make the salat over again. And here the Shaykh Hafizahullah, he's showing that if it's a lady and she's behind the row by herself, then it's okay for a lady to be behind the rows by herself, as we have in this example of the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is what we have time for tonight. And next week, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to begin the class after Maghrib, and hopefully we'll have some more time to cover more issues. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
You said if there's a row and there's a brother behind by himself,
and Salat is in, he joins him but he's by himself, he still should do it all over again.
The brother's asking, if a brother makes, and the Muslims are lined up for the Salah, and he makes the salat by himself behind the rows in a row by himself, the Prophet ﷺ saw that happen during his time, and he told the man to make his salat over again, and that whoever makes salat behind the rows by himself, then he must make his salat over again.
I'm Muslim. The verdict for reciting the Quran and the salat, it's the same verdict if she's just reading the Quran about who can listen.
Other brothers asking, in the Salat when the women are reciting the Quran, and the verdict goes that if men are around, that she shouldn't recite unless they are mahram men to her. Does this go if the women are reading the Quran in general, not inside Salat, but outside of Salat? Is it permissible for the women to recite the Quran aloud around the men, other than their mahram, or should it be just around the mahram men or the women? It kind of slips my mind right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Walhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.